He's been battling dizziness real bad. If you know your pastor for 5 minutes, the doctor's the last place he's going to go. So make sure that we pray for him. I'm not sure what it is. His blood sugar's okay. I don't know that he's checked his blood pressure or not, but I know his sugar's okay. But make sure you pray for him. He's been very tired. And usually when he gets out day after day after day after day and does a lot of physical work, he tends to break down a little bit. And I think that he did. He was out every single day passing out bags in the city and walking for hours and hours and hours. And I think his body sometimes is certainly not used to that. And we need to pray for him that he gets better. Amen? Amen. Please do. The church is not the same without him. We need him here. We need him here. He is our man of God. Nobody ever takes the place of your man of God. And we need him desperately to be here. All right, let's Matthew chapter 6. Man, we didn't have this last week, but boy, what a great Sunday school we had with Brother Bartlett. He did a fantastic job. It was good to sit and listen to him, but boy, I got the itch real bad throughout the week. Didn't get a chance to preach, and when a preacher doesn't get a chance to preach, he gets a little excited. So if I go 55, 60 minutes this morning in Sunday school, that's okay because the preacher's not here. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. We talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about where your treasure is, there your heart is, and it turns out your heart is the treasure, amen? Because God doesn't need your money, he walks on your money in heaven, so he doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your things, he really doesn't. God doesn't care about those things. He doesn't need your bank book, he doesn't need any of those things, because he'll get all those things if he's got this. We talked about that. We talked about how your treasure that you've got to offer him is your heart. That's what you have. Everything else comes from here. Everything does. Doesn't matter what you have. From the abundance of your heart. You've heard that verse over and over in the scripture. That is where your treasure is. If you give him this, he will have everything that he needs. Amen? So we talked about that, and now we're going to move on a little bit. We will get to the crowns. I can't get peace about doing those right at this time because I want to talk about this next couple of verses. These verses are very, very important. All of these verses, for that matter, I mean, how can you get more important than Jesus preaching? Amen. But these verses talk about the light of the body. They talk about the light that is inside of you and that light being darkened. And there's a couple of different things that this really speaks of. And if you've taken Romans, you understand that light that inside of you, that God conscience that is inside of you, if that be darkened, how great is the darkness? And yes, it does definitely deal with that light that God has put inside of you that God is. Amen? That light was put there. That's one of the two preachers. The firmament is a preacher that tells us that there must be a God. If you look at this crazy world and you look at how wonderful it is and how fearfully and wonderfully made we are and how the trees provide oxygen and we provide what the trees need by breathing, it's amazing that God has made this world the way that he has. There's got to be a God. That's one of the preachers. Firmament showeth his handiwork. The other preacher is that God conscience inside of you, that no matter where you're at, you know that there must be a God. It's inside of you. That light inside of you says there's got to be a God. You may not know anything about it, but you'll start searching for it because you go, tribes in the deepest parts of Africa have gods because they know that there's got to be one inside of you. The atheist has tremendous, tremendous faith in there being no God. Think about that for a minute. How dead set in their mind must they be to ignore that light that's inside of them? Darken that light that's inside of them. So we know about that part of the light. But I want to go over this with you. Let's read that verse together. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, he's not asking a question here. If you look at the end of that verse, you'll see what kind of punctuation mark. You'll see an exclamation point. Jesus is saying, how great is the darkness if that eye be darkened? I want you to think with me for a minute. We live, if you are a true Christian, you live in a narrow way, a one-thought Christianity. How do I mean that? Well, you've got one master. You've got one master. You've got one Lord. You've got one mediator. You've got one Savior. You've got one book. Now listen. Well, you're a Bible thumper. You have no idea. You've got one book. I said, you've got one book. Now, I was listening to a program the other day, and it was a political type program, and I can stand those for about 30 seconds. I really can't tolerate listening to the radio even anymore. It's depressing. How can you walk around with a smile on your face and all you hear is gloom and doom every day? We've literally got to unplug from this old world. We do. In this day, you used to be able to, years ago, you used to be able to watch Andy Griffith and be okay. You used to be able to watch Leave It to Beaver and be okay. Because you're not going to have beer commercials between June Cleaver. You're not going to have a beer commercial there. Today, that's all you ever see. You see 85 minutes of death commercials, and then you might have 1 minute of not-so-good TV. So it's getting to the point where you have not even anything that you can even enjoy anymore, and you almost have to completely unplug from the world and do what the Bible says. Be ye separate. Become a peculiar people. It's getting to the point where I don't even like to talk to people anymore. Well, Obama this, Obama that. I know he's bad. I get that. We put him in there. God knows all about it. And we go through all these things, and the Bible has told us these things are coming. And I hear on this radio program, they start quoting Scripture. Well, Scripture says, and they start blah, 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 blah. It sounded like Brer Rabbit preaches Scripture. It was unbelievable how bad it was. And you know that there's people all over the world, amen. Yes, amen, that's right. That's what the Bible, no, that's not what the Bible says. Because we've only got one. Amen. The Lord said he's not the author of confusion. And if he's not the author of confusion, then there can only be one, because otherwise it'd be confusing. It's amazing how the world banters about the issue. And what's funny is the vast majority of churches don't even realize that the Bible is an issue. The vast majority. Oh, we're battling now. We're battling the inspiration of the book. There's morons out there that talk about, we thought this battle was over. We thought that there's going to be your King James people and there was going to be your not King James people. We drew the line in the sand. Now we've got morons that are separating over the King James. We've got King James on this side, King James on that side. Let me explain something to you. We've got one book. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's perfect. If it's not all of those things, it's not any of those things. You need to know that. Like it or lump it, that's the truth. We are a one Christianity. One. Almost everything we deal with is one. And if we don't have that one, then what can we count on? Think about that for a minute. If there's more than one God, what can we count on? If there's more than one Savior, what can we count on? If there's more than one book, what can we count on? What do we preach if we don't have one of each of those things? The Lord has set out, if thine eye be single... I think about that for a minute. If thine eye be single, we are a one. We've got one God. Well, you say it's in three parts. Amen. It is in three parts. And it's one. I and my Father are one. Now, that's what Jesus said. So you have to take it up with him. How do you explain that, preacher? I don't know. How can three be one? I don't know. But I do know this. It is one. And you know what? I've said this over and over again, but I think it bears repeating. You got to understand something. You don't need to know everything that God knows. You don't need to be able to figure out everything that God is. If you could figure out God, how great would he be? With our finite, simple minds, even the most intelligent person has no thought of being able to figure out our wonderful God. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. There's no way that we can even think about being as great as him. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one truth. There's only one life. I am the way, the truth, the life. There's only one seed. There's only one church. Oh, now see now. Now people are going to start sweating now, Brother Dave. The Lord didn't come down and start many churches. He didn't. He walked 60 plus miles to get to the man that had the authority to baptize. And that was John the Presbyterian. That was John the Catholic. By the way, the Catholics are not the mother church. I hope you understand that. The Catholics didn't come on the scene three to 600 years. I didn't live back then. We'll ask some of you all later. But 300 to 600 years. They way after Christ, way after. It was not close. Way after Christ. We have been around much longer than that. And I've taken the time in Sunday school to talk about John the Baptist, how incredible he was. He was a miracle birth too. Did you know that? He was named from heaven. And he wasn't given John the Baptizer as his name. I hear that all the time. Well, John the Baptizer. Well, then why wasn't Philip called the baptizer? He's just Philip. Listen to me. John the Baptist was given that name because Jesus wanted to set a precedent that this church, the church that I came down here to start, and Christ started the church, you can say amen to that. And when he came down to set up this church, he set it up because he wanted to be a member of that Baptist church. When you get baptized, what are you doing? You're becoming a member of that church. That's what happens right afterwards. Yes, I know that baptism is a profession of your faith. I understand that. But you can't be a member of this church until you're baptized by the right authority. Why? Because that's what Jesus set up. One church. One church. Oh, I know people get mad at that. And I know people don't understand that sometimes. But take it up with God because that's what he started. Amen? One baptism. You're not going to see anybody getting sprinkled in here. You go down into the water and you come back up. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's warm. But you're going to go all the way under. One Spirit. We have been baptized into one Spirit. See, what's amazing is we try our dead level best as humans to make more than one. To make more than one way to get to heaven. To make more than one book. To make more than one thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil has done a wonderful job by making more than one. And I'm going to tell you, I grew up thinking that you are just supposed to do whatever you want to do. It's okay. Do what you, be who you want to be. Do what you want to do. Free society, blah, blah, blah. I understand all that. And I think it's wonderful that they have the great and mighty choices of America. But understand this, there is one way to get to heaven. There is one thing you should be doing with your life. And we should focus on what Christ wants us to do. But we live in a society that makes us so busy about other things. So busy, not bad things necessarily, but other things. We get involved in our lives where other things take away that what we're supposed to be doing. One salvation. One propitiation. And one preparer. See, there's going to be a day when we leave this place. And you're going to be thankful that the Lord has gone to prepare a place for you. That where you are, there he is. Can you imagine meeting him? I've thought about it. And I've talked about it a lot. And I've thought about it a lot. You preach 170 plus funerals, you start to think about death, amen? I recite Psalm 23 every time I preach a funeral. And I think about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for that one Savior is going to be with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, I am excited about the simple fact that I know that when this life is over, I'm going to be taken care of. When this life is over, I've got Jesus waiting for me. When this life is over, He's made a place for me. You know what's funny? We talk about this. Think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. Every single one of us loves a place that they can call home. Think about that. One of the most difficult things in the military is how they have them jumping from place to place to place to place. Jumping all over the place. They like to have a home where they can stop and say, this is my home. This is it. This is my house. And I want to stay here. They want to know that they've got a place that they can go home to, and this is going to be where they stay. There's a comfort in knowing that you've got a place. There's a comfort in knowing that you, when you drive down the driveway, it's your driveway. There's a comfort in knowing that there's a lawn that's yours. There's a comfort in knowing that there's a place when you go there, you can be comfortable, and it's your own home. There's a comfort in that. And everybody that's a homeowner, although we don't like to put shingles back on the roof, and we don't like to make the repairs of those homes, we know that we love having that home. I'm so thankful. And it's, you should find great peace in knowing that there's going to be a place waiting for you. A prepared place that is yours. Your place. Jesus has made that place. He's made that home for Carl McDaniel. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think he's probably pretty good at building. I don't know what David Ballard's place is going to look like. I bet you it's got palm trees in front. Bet you there's no snow shovels around my house. Because the thoughts that I have about winter, sinful, sinful thoughts. But it's my place. It's a place that I know that when He walks me through the valley of the shadow of death on the other side, I've got a driveway waiting for me. I got a place waiting for me that's got a recliner in it. And I'm going to be able to sit in there and just relax for a moment. We're going to get to rest for all eternity, my friend. Rest! That wonderful rest that we do not have now because there's so much garbage going on in our lives. And everyone would attest to the fact. The Bible talks about men's hearts failing them for fear, right? Remember that? Boy, we got to be living in those days. Because I see people all the time fretting so bad, stressed out so much. Why? Some people are losing their places. Some people are losing that comfort of having stability. I enjoy having stability. I enjoy walking across the parking lot knowing that's my house, and if I don't want anybody there, I close the door and lock them. There's stability in that. Knowing that you have somewhere to be. You've got an eternity of that waiting for you. If thine eye be single, think about this for a moment. You've got a preparer preparing a place for you. There's not different levels of heaven. There's religions that teach that. There's levels of heaven. If there was levels of heaven, I'd be in the lowest one. Think about that for a moment. Who in the world would you put in the top level? You had Christ and then whoever else is after that. What's amazing is we live in a place, we live in a time, we live in a thought process where everything is okay. It's not okay. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one book that told you how to get there. There's only one. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you are focused with your eyes, with your thoughts, with your duties, if you're focused on what Christ would have you to do, man, how full of light would your body be? If you're focused on Him, focused on what He has for you. Look at quickly at John chapter 8. Verse 22 again, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How great would it be if we walked after Christ to have the light of life? And there's things that we have in our life that put sunglasses on us. There's things that we have in our life that put blinders on us. There's things that we have in our life that blindfold us to the light that is the light of the world. There's things that come in between us that dim your eye. There's things that come in between us that separate us from that wonderful love of Christ, that separate us from the wonderful duties that He would have for us to do. I'm going to tell you right now, I know that this has been mentioned in this church tons of times. I have never met a person that gave their life to Christ that regretted it. Never! But I've met lots of people that have times in their life when they regretted not serving Him. People that serve the Lord. And I understand, serving the Lord is not easy. Serving the Lord is not something that you may skip up and down the street. But understand this. You do something for the Lord that gives you a peace that you can't understand. You can't understand it. In the middle of your deepest, darkest times, you serve God, it gives you a peace that you can't understand. You serve, and then there's times, hey, listen, there's times when I don't. And it's in those times that I find myself getting darker all the time. Think about that with me now. If thine eye be single, if you have a single thought that I'm going to follow my Savior, thine eye be single, your whole body's full of light. You can't stop it. You ever met somebody serving God? Come on, you ever met somebody that's serving God? They're different. They're nuts. Well, you're losing your home, but I'm serving God. See, you say, well, what do you mean if they're serving God? Why is the Lord doing bad things to them? You're missing it. You're missing it. They live on earth. Bad things happen to good people. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But immediately, as soon as rain falls on you, by the way, rain in the Bible is a blessing. Rain falls on you, you think, oh, Lord, good, have mercy, it's a storm and I can't take it. Well, God's done this to me again. God's doing it again. Here I am serving you, God. And by the way, I've caught myself doing this a lot. God, here I am serving you and you're striking me down. Why are you striking me down? Fact is, I don't know. Maybe He's preparing you for something better for Him. Maybe He's putting you through a little bit of boot camp. Maybe He's giving you, well, this came into your life because He's going to need you for something even greater. I wonder if that's it. I wonder if we got ourselves into that mess. And God wants to get you to a place where you've got to get yourself out. See, what you got to understand is the reason I'm talking to you about this stuff is if your eye's single, no matter what else is going around you, your body is full of light. He did not say that if thine eye be single and everything's going good around you. He did not say if thine eye be single and your bills are paid. He did not say if thine eye be single and you stop smoking. He did not say if thine eye be single and you quit drinking. He said if thine eye be single, your body's going to be full of light. Everything else, my friends, is a symptom. Everything else is a symptom. If you've got your mind and your heart and your eyes stayed on Him, single focus on that light, because He is the light of the world, everything else, my friend, will fall into place. No matter what's going on around you, everything else will fall into place. Now understand, I'm preaching this to me. I'm listening to that echo come off that wall, because there's times when I can't understand why God's doing what He's doing. God. And I know that we live in a world full of fist shakers. And if you'd be honest, you've shaken fists too. You may not have held your hand up physically, but it's there. Listen to me. The Lord loves you. You got to understand this. The Lord loves you. And He desperately wants your life to be full of Him. He wants your life to be full of light. He wants your focus to be on Him. That's what He wants. And you know what? Man, he's worth it. He is so worth looking at. He is so worth reading about. He is so worth serving. He is so worth the toil. He is so worth the plowing. He is so worth all of those things. But look at what it says in the next verse. And I've got a few minutes. I believe I can finish this up. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I painfully told you how we are a one. We are a one. We are a one Christian. Christ is one. He's not interested in anything else. One. But if thine eye, if that light that is in thee, think about this for a minute. There's lots of different thought processes about how to get to heaven. Thought processes of who Christ really was. Thought processes in this world today of how we are supposed to live, how we were supposed to act. There's lots of different thought processes that are out there. There's a lot of folks out there. When we went out, there was a watchtower on the door of this one house. A watchtower, J.W. book. Well, I didn't think that they would need to see both of those. Amen. So I took it off.
Amen.
I put it in my pocket. And I put ours on there. I figured it better for them to see the truth as a lie.
Amen.
But the people that are over there believe that they're right. If that light that is in them is darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light that they have has been turned to darkness because they've added something to what Christ said. There's one way. There's one Christ. There's one Savior. There's one mediator. No, there's more than one. There's more than one way. There's more. How great is that darkness? When man tries to add to what Christ has said, there's only one of. How great is the darkness of the Catholic people? They're good people. Please don't, you got to get a hold of this. These are good people. These are people that have lived with this their entire life. They're born into it. These are people that don't know the truth. You can say what you want to say. You can try to make that pretty, but you can't. They don't know that there's only one. And what saddens my heart is how great is that darkness? Can they be saved? You better believe they can. I hear all the time, well, can a Catholic be saved? Anybody can be saved. Whosoever will may come. There's a lot of people that go to Catholic churches that are saved. I got news for you. But they came to Christ His way. I have a very hard time with them staying there. Because it doesn't take you very long to study Scripture at all to find out that what they're teaching is wrong, and you can't make that pretty. But understand this. How great is the darkness inside of a person that has been led to believe a lie? How great is the darkness inside of a person that leads them to believe that they can work their way to heaven? How great is the darkness inside of a person that has led them to believe that baptism gets you to heaven? How great is the darkness inside of a person that believes that they can go ahead and witness for 3 and 4 hours a day, every single day, and that will get them to a better part of heaven? How great is the darkness inside of a person that believes that a man can get them to heaven other than Jesus Christ? How great is the darkness inside of a person that believes any other way but the one way? We are living in a world today where we have kept our mouths closed about the one way. And so many people every single day are living in darkness. They're living in darkness when they believe that they are living in light. The people that follow Mr. Olstein, the people that follow all the people that are out there, these Pentecostals that just pervert the Scriptures. How great is that darkness? How great is that darkness when they believe what they're doing is light? If thine eye be single, if thine eye be single, focused on the light, the whole body's filled with light. But if thine eye be evil, in the light that is in thee be darkness. With exclamation, Jesus says, how great is that darkness? A darkness void of Christ. And I want to tell you this because I want you to hear this. God and humanism do not coexist. God's not going to stay inside and stay with the same person that believes that they can work their way to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Either Christ is all in all or Christ is none at all. That's the truth. Preacher, isn't there a middle ground? No, there's no middle ground. You either believe Christ and what he said or you do not believe Christ and what he said. There's no in between. How great is that darkness, my friends? How great is that darkness? One more thing. One of the scariest verses to me in the scripture is when people come to him and say, Lord, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, Lord. They knew his name, but they didn't know who he was. Lord, Lord. He says to them, depart from me. Well, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not do many great works in thy name? How great was that darkness? Lord, Lord, depart from me. I never knew you. Because there was only one way, and you did not take that way. Because you did not take that way, how great is that darkness? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that there's only one way. I thank you, Lord, that there are no stipulations on me about that way. I just have to believe that way. Lord, I'm so thankful that it's not a conditional thing on how good I am, because I am so filthy. I'm so thankful, Lord, that it's not a condition on how much I work, because, Lord, I could never do enough to pay off that debt. Lord, I'm so thankful that it just doesn't matter as long as we have focus on that one way, one Lord, one mediator, one book. Lord, you are a one God. Help us to look at you that way so we can fill our lives with light. Because, Lord, I sure would love to be a light-filled Christian today where people could see it, where people would know it. Lord, that I would know that I'm helping people to focus on you, that single light. Lord, help us today. Please, Lord, anoint me for this morning. Lord, I've got to preach in a few minutes. I'm nothing without you. Lord, help me. Help me to talk about you in the right way, and Lord, only to say the things that I ought to say, and Lord, not to say the things that I ought not to say. Lord, help me. I need you this morning. Be with these people and bless them. Be with my pastor. Lord, please, heal him up. Heal him up, Lord, that he can be with us. It's very important that our shepherd be here. Lord, please help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.